Siren Radio.
See, we thought it wasn't actually going to deliver, but it did deliver. That's the important thing. Before we go into the awesome weather for Lincoln from Gibraltar, we say good morning to you, Shaley McKenzie.
Morning, Alex.
Yay, back from Budapest, and hopefully back from not too far away, but from the second floor, because I'm sure I saw him pass
I think
around.
Definitely.
Is he actually in the
You weren't hallucinating.
Area? Is he in the reception area waiting to actually come in?
Maybe. I mean,
do you want to have a quick look, Shirley?
I'll go and double check.
Okay, Gabrielle, we'll sort of fill on this, because I know good studio discipline, he sees the red light on and thinks, oh, we won't enter, we won't kind of go through the process, but he is. You see, this is it. He's too shy and retiring in so many ways. Did you actually realise that? However, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
Excellent. Sit yourself down, pop some headphones on, because we have got some amazing news in a matter of seconds after we've had the weather from Gibraltar, from Gabriella Peralta. Please, Gabriella, in your own time, at your own leisure, please take it away. And remember, there are people in Grimsby who live by this particular part of the programme.
Okay. So the weather in Lincoln today is highs of 11 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. It will be a dry day with sunshine and a moderate westerly breeze.
Superb, isn't it? It's still there. Magic.
It's tropical
still.
Weather.
It is in so many ways.
Yeah, very warm.
And for the past few weeks.
In case you've forgotten about, or you think we've forgotten about the ident.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yay. Let's set ourselves down now. Chris, are you nicely calm and relaxed?
Well, I've had a major cable malfunction.
Yeah, I did notice this. I did notice this.
Why is there so much cable?
It's like 14 metres of cable.
Please,
like 20 centimetres
the world
away.
Is there. Shaley, are you aware of this sensational news that Gabrielle's about to reveal to us regarding Gibraltar and a certain...
Is it to do with Brexit?
No.
Okay.
Well, actually, maybe.
It's just a fun story.
Having said that, you know, if we talk about the Empire and the evil Empire and a revenge of...
We'll be here forever.
Are we talking the Spanish Empire here, or what are we talking about? How far back do you want to go?
That's more fictional.
More fictional. More fictional. More fictional.
Okay,
shall I actually reveal a picture here, and you can share with the listener this awesome moment that took place, 12 hours ago in Gibraltar, 24 hours ago?
Yes,
24 hours ago, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, Gabriella, reveal the news, please.
So we got Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, to open the Gibraltar Skywalk at the top of the rock.
Exactly.
Skywalk, oh my goodness.
A glass... walk that you know, you can see through it at the very top, so you get unrestricted views at the very top of Gibraltar, and it's actually taller than the Shard, shorter than the Empire State Building, higher than the Shard, and it's got glass floors.
You see, there we are, Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill,
exactly.
That picture of that stormtrooper in the background is incredibly casual.
He's like leaning up against it.
It's just like, yes,
yeah,
so
it was
what?
A 2-day affair. So the day before, we had a stage in the middle of our local square, John Maxwell Square, and they had dancing stormtroopers. I think apparently they're from Britain's Got Talent, Boogie Storm, I've heard of them now. So they had the dancing stormtroopers, and they were doing their thing, and then Mark Hamill turned up. Greeted the crowd, gave a short interview. People rushed. I was one of them as well, who rushed to the back to try and get an autograph, but I don't think many people did. And then the following day, he went up to the top of the rock with the Skywalk and opened it. First, he cut the ribbon with a pair of scissors, but after that, they put the ribbon up again so he could open it with a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's more like it.
Nice.
You see, that you've been saying for many a month, Chris, I'm sure, what's this connection with Gibraltar? It's clearly all part of our routine for geekdom to take over the world.
I've been on edge.
Literally.
Already on edge. On edge on a ledge.
The Gibraltarian ledge there, but Luke Skywalker opening up the Skywalk in Gibraltar.
Awesome.
Yeah.
There are no words.
Bigger than the Shard.
No,
not quite as big as the Empire State Building.
We were actually very shocked when we found out. We thought it was a bit of a joke. It seems to have gone down very well. And it's part of the marketing of the Skywalk. It's apparently a big marketing project to try and improve tourism to Gibraltar. So it's kind of been done a bit as a gimmick to get people to go to Gibraltar, go up the rock, see the view, then take a go to the Skywalk where Luke Skywalker was on.
Awesome.
Take that, Budapest, you might well say. Really.
Oh my goodness, yeah, that's amazing.
Definite reason why we should
exercise. So I'm coming to Gibraltar.
Yeah. It's a really cool. I haven't been on it myself yet because it's just been open to the public yesterday, but it's it's a walkway. It's got about 4 layers of glass to it. It can withstand high winds, and it's taller than the Shard because that's more or less the top of the rock, not quite the top. So it's quite a bit high up, and I'm really scared of heights, so I don't know how I'm going to be able to bear with it. But apparently, it's not too bad.
Gabriella, the Force will be with you.
That is very true. Actually, that's what he said.
Yeah, you see,
my
heart might always be with Starfleet, but somehow there's a part of me which...
Alex, you're the gift that keeps on giving. You really are. It's extraordinary.
Star Wars is life.
Hence my keenness, Chris, that you're here for the start of the programme for our Gibraltarian connection.
I know, you've come at the perfect time.
Absolutely.
A good day to come early.
I'm glad I got up early and drove in early.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
And that news will follow through. Now, I mean, will you be having anniversaries with Darth Vader coming down to actually sort of battle with his son and so on? Will we be getting kind of...
I don't know. Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine it would be able to withstand that. That could be... it's only made of glass, come on.
Well, maybe given the geopolitical side of things, possibly Putin versus May, perhaps.
He wouldn't be able to see what he's doing with those tiny piggy eyes, would he? I mean, he's all over the place, Putin.
A bit like Yoda. No,
I didn't know. No, he's nothing like Yoda.
No, he's not really. Never mind. So all of this excitement, and we need to know, of course, Gabriella, how has Frodo taken this? I mean, is it a case of, is Frodo, can he not wait to get on the Shard? On the bridge?
Oh, I don't know if I'll put Frodo through that.
No.
Because I don't think he quite understands what's going on. I don't know. I wouldn't want him to get scared. Mm. I don't know if dogs are even allowed on it, because I'm not too sure.
I don't think you would
allow dogs on the Skywalk, just in case.
Yeah.
But he's comfortably sat in front of the heater, even though it's warm today, none the wiser.
And just proving the sort of excitement, though, we just had our display driver stop working suddenly. And then isn't that wonderful?
It couldn't
handle it. How about that?
The midichlorians.
Mate, that's what it's all about.
Clearly.
Just make that up.
The whole system sort of pans into place there. Shaylee, any little questions you'd like to put to Gabriella at this moment? I know you're blown away with that particular aspect.
I'm speechless. Mm. Are there any other events that are happening soon?
We have like our music festival, so that's probably going to happen in September. So we do have a 2-day festival where we bring bands. I think last year we had like Craig David, we've had Neo, we've had a lot of bands.
Neo, Craig David,
nice.
And Mark Hamill.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've got like Kings of Leon, The Script. Mm-hmm. We do like a 2-day festival in Gibraltar, a music festival, and recently MTV's taken it over. So it's now the Gibraltar MTV Festival.
That sounds awesome.
Clearly, since graduating from the University of Lincoln, you have moved the state of Gibraltar and the whole rock of Gibraltar into a whole new world,
elevated.
Gabriella.
Completely elevated.
Think so. I think it's definitely the sort of line. Well, what can we say? Next week, our pre-Easter special. Gabriella, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link for this time on the programme?
Yes, I have. Thank you. It's been fun.
Good. Oh, yeah, we like to feel as well as sort of precisely so. We're going to find out from Chris about Warhammer.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to find out about Star Trek. We're going to find out from Richard Fitzwilliams what he made of the movie Tomb Raider.
Oh, right.
Exactly.
I might find myself agreeing with Richard this week.
Well,
tune in, folks.
It's going to be pretty interesting. The return of Emma Tenson and Ian Lennox, of course, will be back with us too. And Alan Stevens should be around, as well as the return of William Sitwell, who makes a fine return as well. And we talked about the script. We'll go out with the particular line in a few seconds. Gabriella, will you be back with us next week?
Yes, I will.
Woke up this morning, can't shake the thunder from last night. You left with no warning and took the summer from my life. I gave you my everything, now my world it don't seem right. Can we just go back to being us again? Cause when I'm sitting in the bar, all the lovers with umbrellas always pass me by. It's like I'm living in the dark and my heart's turned cold since you left my life. I'm alone, there ain't no blue sky. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, 'cause baby, when you're gone, all it does is rain, rain, rain down on me. Each drop is pain, pain, pain. When you leave, it's such a shame. We messed it up, you and me. 'Cause baby, when you're gone, all it does is rain. And it feels like, shelter here in the arms of someone new. But I'd rather be there under the covers just with you. Oh, 'cause you were my everything. Now I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm caught up in the storm. 'Cause baby, when you're gone, all it does is rain, rain, rain down on me. Each drop is pain, pain, pain. When you leave, it's such a shame. Always pass me by. It's like I'm living in the dark, and my heart's turned cold since you left my life. And no matter where I go, I know if I'm alone, there'll be no blue sky. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, baby. When you're gone, all it does is rain, rain, rain down on me. Each drop is pain.
It does rain. The script, marvellous stuff on that scenario. Sorry, Shirley, it's just for the benefit of the listener. Every so often, when you're in the business of radio, you might not be listening to the music all the time. But the fact of the matter is, you can't just sort of say, oh, I'm sorry, we're having a conversation. We can't, you know, you have to pay attention to those things. Mark's out the professional from the unprofessional. Isn't that right, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Hello.
Exactly. Now, Chris Dowes has gone in search of a coffee. So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see when he returns. And he left us pretty much, Shaley, with that line. I wonder whether, in this particular instance, for one instance alone, I'll find myself agreeing with Richard Fitzwilliams. We don't know what views Chris Dowes actually has about Tomb Raider. I can hypothesise, I can speculate, I can do all sorts of things, but frankly, Richard, I haven't got a clue what he actually thinks about the movie in any way, shape or form. Likewise, Shaley, who hasn't seen the movie but is probably more of an Angelina Jolie fan.
All the way.
Whereas Mark Kermode effectively says, and this could be damned with faint praise, well, I really hated Angelina Jolie's incarnation and this is not as bad as that. So,
well, I can only say this puts me in a midway place, that since I didn't see Angelina Jolie's interpretation of the role, I can only talk about Alicia Vikander, and perhaps that is an advantage, who knows.
It's always an advantage to speak about Ex Machina, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Danish Girl, and let's not forget her awesome performance in Testament of Youth.
Well, I can certainly say I didn't see Testament of Youth, but I did see and like The Danish Girl, and I do think she is a very fine actress. And in fact, she carries this film. Basically, in short, I rather enjoyed it. I didn't see the original. It's based on the video game, a reboot of the Tomb Raider franchise. It's actually jolly good fun, but you have to approach it in a with a mindset that, you know, leaves it open to enjoy in the way it, in a rather unpretentious and rather impossible way sometimes. It tells its story, which was quite interesting to note that Lara Croft, though a dab hand, as we all know with Bow and Arrow, she doesn't perform that many feats which are, as it were, absolutely impossible for human beings. So that gives, shall we say, a sliver of reality to some of the proceedings of story, of course. It's simply nonsensical, but it is very good fun. For example, we meet Richard Croft narrating to begin with, played by Dominic West. He's gone on a journey and he's disappeared. What he's trying to discover is research into Himiko, the queen of the Yamatai, an island where, in fact, once she discovers where he's gone, Lara follows in his footsteps. The queen was notorious, and what he's done is left material for her to discover and then destroy, but she doesn't. In fact, she, from England, where she lives a very lively life as a bike courier, delightful scene early on when she puts a fox brush to her bike and there's a chase. It's an excuse to tour around London, but why not? She wants her freedom and independence. Her father's business partner, Anna Miller, played by Kristin Scott Thomas with a certain hauteur, tells her if she doesn't claim her inheritance, she's from an old family, it will be sold. Well, she discovers a pre-recorded message from her father, and following him to Devil's Island, in circumstances that I can only call incredible. The film's plot is ridiculous, but it's the way she plays the role has a certain credibility, and the fact also that she's got a certain vulnerability as well as the obvious tenacity that the part needs helps to, as it were, make the movie a little more believable and, towards the end, I thought rather exciting. It depends what you want from these sort of movies. I mean, it's not a film that is like Wonder Woman or indeed Atomic Blonde, dedicated to feats that are absolutely, certainly Wonder Woman, quite beyond all reason. What it is exciting, it's colourful, it's improbable. You've even got the likes of Derek Jacobi popping up when she gets to Devil's Island. She falls in with a very shady bunch who kidnap her, and then she escapes. And what happens when they actually enter the tomb of the monstrous Himiko? All of this actually is rather exciting. I mean, it's diverting. It isn't serious, and it doesn't take itself seriously. Whether people would regard, in an age where we use CGI so fantastically well, or indeed badly, with the Marvel movies making the fortune that this one doesn't seem to be, but the fact it ran Black Panther quite close in the States for one weekend, but it doesn't seem to be making what its makers had actually hoped it would. But it's a movie that, I have to say, quite a full house seemed to enjoy it. I thought that it was basically, it's Alicia Vikander's an excellent actress, and if you have an excuse for watching her, then why not see it if you like this sort of thing? It's, of course, very silly in many ways, but on the other hand, it's diverting and the special effects are nothing extraordinary. But then, as I say, it isn't. Some of the scenes are not so impossible that all credibility vanishes out of the window, but the story certainly is. But it's a movie, if you find the sort of thing diverting, I think you'll be amused.
In a recent article, Northern Arizona University professor Kurt Lancaster, who is the author of 2004's Lara Croft, The Ultimate Young Adventure Girl, or The Unending Media Desire for Models, Sex and Fantasy, in the journal PAJ, a Journal of Performance and Art, he argued that the film successfully subverts the patriarchal origins of the video game. Chris, you've heard what Richard Fitzwilliams has actually said.
And
as somebody who specialises in Warhammer and all manner of other delightful things in terms of online gaming and such like, what are your thoughts on Lara Croft with not Angelina Jolie, but Alicia Vikander?
Well, I think it's a reboot that was absolutely unnecessary. I don't really see the point in it because they're not doing an awful lot with the games. I mean, I'm so old that I can remember the original games coming out and playing a series of them and being as bad at all of them. The whole situation with Angelina Jolie was she was the right shape for the three-dimensional model that they've made. Mm-hmm. So they knocked a couple of pretty poor films out of that. Mm-hmm. I don't see the point at all.
You thought Cradle of Life wasn't a kind of statement of Western kind, the likes of Battleship Potemkin?
To be fair, as the French may say, it was garbage.
Ah.
So I thought it was pointless then, and quite frankly, I take Richard's point, and I've only seen bits of it. I'm not really that interested. It's not a thing I would pay money to go and see, surprisingly, perhaps. But none of it touches the game. Because it's some of the game translations have been more successful than others, but this just I don't really see the point.
Is it like Assassin's Creed then, or the
Assassin's Creed is utterly pointless as well. It's a daft idea for a film. It barely makes it as a game, but it's got such good gameplay and graphics, etc. Although there have been a lot of technical issues with a couple of the releases previously, I just don't really see the point. As it is, I am led to believe. And Richard confirms that it's a jolly romp and enjoyable.
Yes, that sums it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to change the world, but I don't think it's designed to do that. But I don't honestly, fundamentally see why they did it in the first place. Mm-hmm. So
money, presumably.
That could, yes. Do you know what? You might have just struck on something there. You might be right.
Just as a little way. Shaley.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there are some games that just shouldn't ever be made into films and should just be left in the gaming world.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. But I did like the Angelina Jolie.
So transmedia storytelling does not actually address...
Well, I mean, you've got the other way around, of course. You've got Tron, which was a film that they made into a game. And,
personally, I find Pixels one of the most exciting, enlightening movies of the 21st century.
It's you should see the original French short on which it is based. That's really quite good, and that's how he got the job, the guy who's the director. But, I mean, I will live and die and defend Tron and I actually really liked Tron Legacy as well. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I thought it took it somewhere, and I really enjoyed both of them. I thought it was very poignant. I liked it a lot.
Well, let's just lock into the mainframe, which many people say we did years ago. Shelley, would you be going to check out Angelina Jolie, because you said you're a big fan of
Jolly on the Brain.
Yes, exactly. Alicia Vikander's incarnation of the latest franchise offering.
I don't think I'll be going to a cinema this time. Sorry, Richard.
No, I wasn't necessarily recommending it, but just simply pointing out that it's fun if you are undemanding and this is the sort of thing that you like. I mean, some of it is totally silly, but other bits, as I say, aren't as preposterous as they might be. I would mention Dominic West's wig, which worried me very, very considerably throughout this movie. It is a painful sight to see an actor like that with an encumbrance of the sort. But, I mean, you know, it's easy to make fun of it. It is what it is. If this is the sort of thing that appeals to you, you'd find it amusing. If it doesn't, then, you know, you'd move on to the next, well, whether it's sci-fi blockbuster or whether it's, as I would no doubt prefer in most cases, with a nod to Black Panther, which did work, something more realistic and dramatic. It takes all types, but it is curious that they have done a reboot, and it's interesting to hear the history of some of the games and the attitudes that you have on this.
Well, worry not, Richard. It's only a matter of weeks before Avengers Infinity War actually strikes. So
the best crossover in the world.
Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers. Truly, let us move on to a transgender woman who works as a waitress and moonlights as a nightclub singer.
You were never really here.
Have we dropped a Fantastic Woman then?
Oh, well, no, I certainly wouldn't wish to drop the Fantastic Woman. I just simply thought that I had put you were never really here.
Well, that's okay then. I'm always questioning my existential existence on a day by day basis.
No.
Whichever one you wish to go for, Richard.
In which case, having perhaps because we lost a couple of.
I'm just confirming what I was actually sent by you.
We will do a Fantastic Woman because it's a fantastic film, and directed by Sebastian Delio, who's Chilean. It's the sort of movie that I wish had been up for Best Picture at the Oscars, because Daniela Vega, who is trans and is the central character, was a presenter at the Oscars, which I think was a very good idea. And we meet Marina, she played by Daniela Vega, and Orlando, played by Francisco Reyes, a very fine actor. Initially, I mean, they're in love and she lives with him. There's a 30-year age gap. They celebrate her birthday, but alas, he falls ill and is taken to hospital. He also falls on the stairs. This has a most regrettable meaning subsequently, and has bruises. This has echoes. You remember A Single Man, Tom Ford's infinitely touching film set in the 60s of a gay man played by Colin Firth whose partner dies and he's completely ignored by the family and cut out of any communication, and basically, apart from his friend played by Julian Moore, he is left to suffer. I mean, this is an extraordinary story because you really, really feel so for someone who is subjected to a humiliating session by the police to examine her for bruises, because how did the accident happen? I mean, could it have been her fault? And then Orlando's ex-wife absolutely loathes her and is abusive. His son threatens to throw her out of the flat, which they shared. I mean, basically, the world forces her to punch the air with frustration quite often in this movie. I don't want to reveal exactly how she fights back, but indeed she does, and as a transgender woman, and none of them accept her. Only there's only one person who has any sort of a conscience, and he doesn't do much with it. Then basically despair sets in, and this is a touching film, and it's a luminous performance by Daniela Vega. I mean, visually it's unobtrusive, there's a superb supporting cast, and it's a study of loneliness and rejection and how to fight it and how to realize your potential. And it's very, very significant that this movie has done so well, because it sends out an extremely important message. And I have to say, I thought it was absolutely excellent. I mean, this is a story people should see, and obviously a plea for understanding, but forcefully done with an absolutely first-class central performance.
Wondrous. So, Shaylee, you were keen to actually see... that person was actually Jeremy Irons. I don't think it was, actually.
No, I'm beginning to doubt my own eyes.
Looking at the cast list there. It's not a cameo appearance.
Jeremy Irons.
Shaylee believed that one of the characters looked very like Jeremy Irons.
This Francisco Reyes?
Francisco. Well, funnily enough, I met Jeremy Irons recently because I went backstage to congratulate him for his absolutely superlative performance in A Long Day's Journey Into Night opposite Leslie Manville. Mm. And it didn't occur to me, but... very possibly that might be the case.
You might have actually met Francisco Reyes by mistake.
Who knows?
Not on the London stage, I don't think. True. But nonetheless, I mean, Irons takes me back to from Brideshead Revisited to A Reversal of Fortune. It's been an amazing career.
Mm.
Lolita was when I fell in love with Jeremy Irons.
No, I never thought you'd say those utter words on a breakfast show here on Silent
I do Radio, have to but... say that some of his comments... during the making of that film were somewhat controversial, but indeed, in my opinion, the Kubrick version was much better, but nonetheless, Nabokov hated it because Peter Sellers' accents and domination of the movie were something he couldn't abide about.
Yeah. Well, you know, he should have stuck to Inspector Clouseau, which actually wasn't even...
Oh, I'm not sure I agree. Dr. Strangelove might appear on the programme and correct
good
you.
Call.
Yeah, exactly. So, A Fantastic Woman, would you be checking that one out, Chris?
No.
Is this because when you were a projectionist in Grimsby back in the 20th century, you kind of had your fill of overseas movies?
I European cinema'd out.
All right, okay. Shayla?
That is a that is a very, very sad confession. Because
it is.
Can one be? Because I would see more and review more art house films if I, you know, if there was more
time,
space to do it. Yeah. I have more time. Yes, there isn't. I mean,
you get more time than I do, Richard.
Maybe
Alex won't let me get a word in.
It's all part of the rich tapestry of our life. Shaylee, will you be checking out A Fantastic Woman?
I personally think this is a better film than Tomb Raider, as trans right movement.
But surely Lara Croft is a fantastic woman. I mean, that was the link. I thought it was written. Really,
that was a bit weak.
No, indeed. I mean, Alicia Vikander is a very good actress.
I don't think Tomb Raider is as topical as A Fantastic Woman is, with the trans right movement at the forefront of LGBT rights. I think this is a great, this looks like a great film.
It's terribly important, and I really would recommend it, because it's a serious and intense film, and you really feel for someone who's on the receiving end of what Marina, the Daniela Vega's character, is, and also it's such a well-made film. It's very, very dramatic. It absolutely held me under something of a spell, because there are films that are really, really successful in gripping you, and you're wondering what's going to happen next, and you feel so for this character, and how is it possible to fight back? What talents can you use, and so on? And it's a wonderful film, yes.
Well, there we have it.
Excellent.
And duly packaged away and tucked away into the wonderful annals of broadcasting podcast history as well. Would you like to put those last two questions to Richard, please, Shaylee?
Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
No, absolutely, and catching up on films now as we are, because, of course, the awards ceremonies are, you know, we're so
It's not so much the awards ceremony, it's more the kind of post-awards ceremony debate between yourself and Phil Leonis that effectively we need to actually open up in our six days
Phil
of broadcasting
today?
For. It's in California time, coming around to 25 to 2 in the morning, because they haven't sprung forward as yet.
So
oh, my goodness, no, that's rule. I mean, that rules out a human.
Yeah,
unless, of course, he's metamorphosed into some other form. We've seen this on screen.
It can happen.
As he revealed last night on the midweek drive, he has just set the times and place for the official tying of the knot with Lily Holliman, and it's going to be the same place that Charlie Chaplin also was connected.
That's cool.
Charlie Chaplin, got a whole range of things. March next year, I believe. Somewhere March 2019. That's the.
And he'll be over in October.
Well, possibly. I mean, I give it a bit more than that to last as a union of a couple, basically.
Here.
You know, we'll see what actually happens. But it is nice that actually, if Lily Holliman does actually sort of go traditional and go Lily Leonis, she'd be the superheroine of all superheroines. LL,
oh,
Lois
it rolls
Lane,
off the top.
Lana
now.
Lang, Lily Leonis. I just want to
I
put
like
that
it.
Up there. He won't be listening to sleep anyway. so she, I presume. But anyway, so final question.
Indeed. And Richard, can we rely on you for next Thursday?
Oh. Yeah, Sam Goldman would say in two words, absolutely.
Excellent.
I'm in love with it, intoxicated. I'm in rapture from the inside. I can feel that you want to wake up high on. Now I'm deep in it.
I double dare you. I triple dare you. No, just I dare you. Go through the whole thing without mentioning a side from Tyneside. I'll do that. I will do that. I'll endeavour to do so, won't I, Ian Lennox?
Hello.
Hey, Ian, you're a writer, so you're going to appreciate the next slot because we are talking books, writing, and the legendary Dr. Chris Dowes, who has brought not one but two examples of his fantastic recently published and recently released work into the studio. Are you ready for this, Ian Lennox?
Okay.
Marvellous. Chris?
Is this my shameless plug 2 minutes?
This is your shameless plug. Take 2.5 minutes.
Don't be ashamed.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed at all. I've been working on Alex for weeks. Get me on air. Yes, so as you know, I write for Black Library Press, which is part of Games Workshop Warhammer 40K. And
could you just explain for the benefit of Ian? Because, I mean, I know Ian from many a time, etc. And the very whole notion of Warhammer, etc., he'll be a little bit confused. So really? Will Ollie and Obi.
I've been working for six years. I'm still confused.
It's fair to say, Ian. So shall we break it down to use that whole story?
It's all started about 40 years ago as a tabletop fantasy role-playing game like Dungeons & Dragons, but a British version of it. And then they started releasing magazines and books based on the characters in the games. Mm-hmm. And then the Black Library, as it's now called, started to really pump out the novels about 15, 20 years ago.
With
and it's
writer and educational advisor Chris Dowes, over 20 years experience in comic books, prose and
non-fiction. I've done it all, me. I've been around the block a couple of times. Got the T-shirt.
Did you write all the books then?
I've done a series of short stories. I've got one novel, which the paperback version has been released this week after 18 months just in hardback.
Based on the characters in the game.
That's correct, yeah. It's absolutely vast. I mean, you're talking hundreds of characters and scenarios and so on.
Wow, so what, you pick your own, don't you?
Pretty much,
pick
yeah.
Pick and choose, basically.
Or the editorials say, right, you can have that part of the universe. And so, I mean, there's 50, 60 authors working for the company. Some of them, like Dan Abner,
pretty
for instance.
Stuff, huh?
Oh, it is big stuff, yeah.
It does really well. Huge. It's like you've got the universe of the brothers and the net. And
it's
phenomenal. Yeah.
It is. I mean, effectively, it is licensed.
Gentlemen and players.
Well, exactly. Absolutely. But what you're into, talking of players, you're into third generation players now. People are turning up at Warhammer World in Nottingham with grandparents.
They have conventions,
kids. They have enormous conventions, Ian. Yeah, I was very, very lucky to be a guest.
Has it extended overseas? Or
yes, it's all over the world like a rash, and it's just
like
getting bigger
stuff,
and bigger.
Then,
so, it's an interesting business model because if you buy any of the various models and scenarios for the game, they'll say, thank you for ordering this. Have you ever read X, Y, and Z based on what you're buying? And if you buy any of the books or the audio dramas, which I'm writing now, they'll
say,
thank you for this order. Have you considered buying this or that figure? So it's very, very clever, all very joined up.
Yes.
But the
it's a big company, by the sound of it.
It's a huge company, yeah. It celebrated its 40th anniversary last year, and it's peculiarly
Star
British.
Star Wars, Warhammer, Star Wars.
Exactly. Oh, it's all basically came out at the same time. The originators couldn't get the British license for Dungeons & Dragons, so they thought, well, to hell with this, we'll write our own version, and that's pretty much how it all started.
It's pretty much parallel to Dungeons & Dragons, isn't it?
There's two parts of Games Workshop. There's the very, very similar, very capitals similar to Dungeons & Dragons, and then there's the science fiction side, the 40K, so set in the year 40,000, which is what I specialise in. I don't do the other side. So it's quite a varied product. And
so when you're writing these books, you then have to presumably have to curtail yourself to the extent of the plots in the games.
Absolutely.
And,
I mean, I've been
and the weaponry and things like that will be all
exactly
part of the games
right.
that are already there.
The IP is the biggest difficulty because I mean Star Trek I wouldn't have a problem because I've been doing that for 23 years, but I've had to learn the universe, the Warhammer universe, as I've been going along, and that's the big sticking point with
exactly.
an unlicensed product,
yes.
really, because you've got to have a basis of shared knowledge which is equal to or hopefully slightly better than your readership, otherwise
they'll mock you.
That's a polite way of putting it, yeah, they will mock you.
Well, they will, because they're obviously devoted to this
they
stuff
are.
And anybody who displays less knowledge than they do will ridicule them.
Well, it's also entirely unfair if they're paying money for a product and the people who are producing it don't know as much as they do. And
well, yeah, no, that you're interrupting the fantasy.
Exactly
well.
Right, exactly right. And getting that wrong, well, you know, at your peril.
Yeah, that's extreme.
Luckily, there's three layers of editorial that you go through. So, and I work with Kate Hamer, who's my editor, and she's fabulous.
So they're already experts in the subject matter anyway, are they?
Yeah, pretty much. Although
so they're like a buffer zone for you.
Absolutely.
Gives you freedom to sort of, to take risks almost.
It is. When I
you're not terrified of making a mistake because it's going to get out.
You know
there's a safety net.
No, I mean, we can, as writers, we can just get on with being creative and coming up with
the
story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a huge release, that. I used to work in documentaries and stuff, and I had a brilliant researcher. And the thing that struck me about the situation I was in with her was that it released me to work on my imagination.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she would say, no, you can't do that because of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was extraordinarily creative for me.
When I used to go to the comic book conventions in the 90s, I used to have various arguments on a yearly basis with people who would say to me, it's not creative, it's entirely restrictive working for licensed products, which I would just laugh at them and say, well, there's a couple of issues with that. First of all, if you work for a licensed product, you've already got a ready-made audience, notwithstanding the issues of you having to know what it is you're talking about. But secondly, it's all writing is restrictive. You have to select a genre, you have to select a format.
Exactly.
You have
time
to select
and place.
Exactly right. So the only difference between writing for a licensed product and writing for your own stuff is illusionary, really, because you are entirely guided by lots of different boundaries, and it's nice.
I mean, every writing has a discipline.
I mean, there's an argument that you have to be even more creative than a licensed product because you've got to be entertaining and make a logical narrative and also adhere to the various rules and regulations.
An established commercial product that you've
got to
describe within. Yeah.
But I'm into my sixth year now, and I got invited to a two-day, the Black Library weekend last November. The Black Library Weekender. It was over in Nottingham.
What's a Black Library?
The Black Library is the publishing company.
Oh, I see, right. Okay.
So just to make it distinct from Warhammer, although it's not distinct because it's part of Warhammer. Oh, it's all terribly complicated.
It's a division of it, is it?
Yeah, yeah. So, and it was lovely. I went with my partner Sarah, and we had an absolutely fantastic time, and the people were very, very gracious and very, very nice. There was a distinction between going to a comic book convention and going to the Black Library convention in that everyone was very polite. Comic book conventions, people will walk up to you and say, so-and-so, what you wrote is absolutely garbage. It's the worst thing I've ever written. I hate it.
Really?
Yeah, would you mind signing it, please? So to which you sign from your disappointed author, you know, from your substandard author, Chris. And but the Black Library weekend, it was lovely. I mean, very challenging questions people would ask. Not so much on the IP as you would expect, like, oh, is the trigger on the left-hand side or is that painted green or black, you know, but just really, really nice experience. And I did three seminars while I was there. All the other writers, we all worked while we were there talking to people. And in the downtime, we would chat to whoever wanted to talk to us. And it's a really interesting dynamic between the readership and between us as creators. And it's just really, really quite pleasant. I'm going to another one in May and another one in June. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. Not knee switch, just to flog my tat.
Yeah.
In a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating Sci-Fi Scarborough. It's fifth year, beside the seaside. It's interesting you made that comment, Chris, because I'm not a regular convention guy. I usually manage to get two or three a year in various ways, shapes, or forms. But in most cases, I find that usually fans are really polite. That's a sad kind of notion that you said, though, that you have got sort of folk that are coming in and being so judgmental and actually not celebrating the actual thing.
I think that was a product of its time. I wouldn't expect it to be quite as hostile now, particularly with, I'm not going to say the elevated respect that comic books have got, because that doesn't still in this country. It's getting better, but I mean, I did a PhD on it, so it's not ever going to be as good as it is in Europe, for instance, where
People still actually prefer Georgian literature in certain universities in the country.
I'm not going to comment on that. Not since I'm part of the English and Creative Writing
Department. I'm not mentioning any sort of area.
I won't get out of the building. But it's surprising, though. I mean, we've got a lot of members of staff here who, when I came on board last September, were delighted that they had someone who was into genre writing.
Well, we signed you up for this show pretty much.
Well, you snapped me up, didn't you? Quite rightly. I've got a good face for radio.
So, Shaley, as a fan, as somebody who's listening to that, have you entered the Warhammer universe? Is it a universe that you've ever been tempted to do? Or is it a case of you thinking, oh, I don't know?
So I'm currently entering D&D with my friends. The whole idea of such an immersive universe in terms of gaming is really exciting. And I definitely feel like in recent years, gaming as a whole has become way more mainstream than it was when I was a kid. I mean, if you were a gamer in my generation, you were basically a geek.
Yep.
And a geek wasn't necessarily a good thing.
Well, let's face it, geeks were referred to because they have in their origins of words, they were people in American carnivals in the 1920s and 30s who used to bite the heads off chickens.
Well, exactly.
Did you not know that?
I did not know that.
Well, there we are.
But I can do that if you want. I mean, it's all... You
know, rubber chickens, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly.
You want a real sort of chicken, otherwise it would be unfair. You ramp up your green connections and credentials by using reusable coffee cups.
I do.
And then you bite the heads off chickens.
That's not right, is it?
No.
Yes.
Karma. Karma from that point of view.
That's not right.
But, Ian, I do want to have some chicken-biting people in your next novel. Just wanted to put that out there from that point of view. A bare knuckle once. Just quick plug for Sci-Fi Scarborough, whole weekend, unconventional convention in the quirky quarter mile of the Spa Complex in Scarborough, and more news of that next week, actually, where Steve Dickinson will be joining us on the programme and we'll be heading off to this grand thing. Dominic Keating, Malcolm Reed, of course, from Star Trek Enterprise, is one of the folk who's coming over this year. And Larry Nemeshek, we first met at Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Oh,
so,
my goodness me.
Yeah, so be putting it out there. Ian, has that opened your eyes to a whole new generic world, which you're just sort of thinking, right, Ollie and Oboe, I know what I'm going to do now. I'm going to actually sort of become a Warhammer aficionado.
No, it doesn't appeal to me, actually.
Fair enough.
I do find it interesting, and I do respect... you know, the dynamics of it, but I still I don't know. People are living in it's like they're living in their own parallel reality.
Well, that's exactly it.
It's
yeah.
all supporting Newcastle United.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, it is. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah. That whole new world. Still, never mind.
That's my gamer game.
A game of games.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's the title.
It's a way forward. Perhaps we could actually have Daenerys taking over from Rafa Benitez as the leader. Then you actually cut
Daenerys
strike.
Targaryen.
Yes, I think so. She'd make a good leader for Newcastle United. I think the fans would appreciate her. You know, they came very close with Amanda Staveley, who was looking to buy into the club. What they needed was Daenerys. She would have had no truck whatsoever with Mike Ashley. It would have been sorted.
Well, yeah. Who's she?
Yeah, yeah.
She's the mother of dragons.
Exactly.
Is what?
The mother of dragons out of Game of Thrones.
The blonde lass.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah, the blonde lass.
The blonde lass.
That's that one.
Yes.
The blonde
exactly.
one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Glad we've sorted that
out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was succinct and everyone knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
What better can you get than that?
And would she not make the perfect owner of Newcastle United? Am I not right, Ian? Am I not saying, you know, surely?
Okay.
Yeah, put it out there. Use social media. Social media the heck out
no,
of
you can't use social media anymore. It's all lies and they use your information to elect Donald Trump. Stop.
Fair point.
I was waiting for that.
it's the
delete
way...
Delete your Facebook
it's
now.
It's the way
delete
forward.
Delete everything.
Clearly.
Throw your phone away.
So how are Ollie and Oboe today, Ian? We know that Frodo... Was Frodo conscious, by the way?
He was sat by the heater.
Yeah.
So unconscious. What's the state of play with respect to Ollie and Oboe, please, Ian?
Well, they're both out, haven't had their breakfast. I don't know where they are.
Well, spring has sprung now, technically.
Well, he's still able to get over walls and things, so he can't have gone blind. That's not a
euphemism, in case you're wondering.
He's got degenerative sight. I think he might be in remission, actually. He's been the same for about 6 months now.
We'd like to feel that just as Team Fuzz Aldrin was actively supported by the Midweek Drivettes, you know, clearly the same thing with Ollie and Oboe. It's more than just a radio show, essential healing experience,
absolutely.
Really.
We're broadcasting healing love.
Precisely, Chris. This is the way forward. So more of that in a matter of moments. We'll be speaking to Emma Tinson, who should be connecting with us for the first time in a long while from Surrey. Assuming her mobile phone is working, she did get a new one for Christmas, so she assures me
that it's working. I was going to say, is this the lady who had to hang out the window the last time?
That was Claire Margerison.
Ah, okay.
That was
hang out the window?
That's health and safety, come on.
She's postgraduate in Kent, University of Kent at Canterbury.
What,
so
that makes it okay?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's what they do at Kent of Canterbury.
Oh, is it Canterbury last week? Well, I didn't see anybody hanging out the window. Not at all.
We had a falling bodies.
Yeah, I saw a couple of bodies on the floor. Yeah, absolutely. Slipping over. Man, yeah, that's Canterbury High Street after dark. It's not good.
Ever since the Archbishop back in the Henry II day, was there. Yeah,
all the way downhill from there.
Oh, a different line entirely. So Emma should be joining us. William Sitwell, as I say, makes a welcome return to the programme. Lord knows where William will take us, but no doubt it'll be fascinating. And Alan Stevens, hopefully he'll be able to stick around for Alan this week, because I know you had to head off, Chris, last time.
I've got a meeting.
Even earlier,
unfortunately. Sorry.
It's outrageous, isn't
We're
it?
We're just every not important, week, are we?
No. Oh, are you kidding me?
It's not too much
up. 6 o'clock this morning to be here.
There you
go. Say that.
And he made it and worked that whole process through. So, Chris, test them. Let's see if you can actually master this. Could you put those last two questions to Ian Lennox, please?
I know that the first question is about, have you had a pleasant telephone?
Have the difficulty with this? I have the same difficulty. Yeah. I can't.
Well, these two have got it in front of me and written down. I haven't. Oh,
right.
It's chucked at
them. They've only been there 20 years.
Exactly. Let me paraphrase. Have you had a nice time?
Yes, thanks, mate.
There you go. That's more like it.
So much better than fancy.
I'll be back,
time,
right?
And will you be back next week?
I will.
Fabulous.
Behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you-
Is it the same as it ever was, though? Is it all just an illusion? We don't know. Chris, before we head up to the news, final plug for... Well, actually, penultimate plug, because we'll have another one when Emma Tinson joins us, hopefully in a few moments, for the Warhammer universe that you can access.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. So I have this, my paperback book that's out this week called The Red Path. And there's also an audio drama called Titan's Bane.
Do with Phil or indeed Catherine.
That's really, very funny.
Did you see that? Yeah.
That's hilarious.
There's certain sort of folk who might get that. Others, yeah. Are like, what, where?
I'm just going to nip off to hospital because my ribs are broken. So there we go.
Exactly.
If you don't know Catherine or Phil Redpath, that joke will mean nothing to you whatsoever. And I say joke. Yes, I have an audio drama out, and I also have a paperback book out, which can all be ordered if you look for me on www.blacklibrary.com. And just put in Chris Dow's DWS and all my
magic will ensue
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Magic will ensue. That's the classic line. It will ensue. Things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gon' tell the story was different with me.